From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information. Start from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries energizes to increase protections for fishing vessel crews. The Ministry of Tourism appreciates Brotherhood Camp to improve the image of Bali tourism. West Nusa Tenggara Governor invites Malaysian business people to invest in West Nusa Tenggara. Now the news in detail. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries synergizes with various related parties in the context of increasing the protection for fishing vessel crews as an effort to uphold human rights in the fisheries sector. The Ministry's Catching Fisheries Director General Zulfikar Mohtar, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, said that the Ministry, through the Directorate General of Catching Fisheries, has also been and continues to encourage all fishing ports to cooperate with insurance providers in providing services to ship owners to facilitate insurance access. By the end of 2019, he said, it was targeted that 22 Central Port Technical Implementation Units had provided insurance service for fishing vessel crews. Zulfikar also witnessed the signing of the collaboration between Samudra Bitung Fisheries Port and Social Security Administrator on Employment, BPJS. This collaboration is a form of government commitment to provide access to labor protection services for fishing vessel crews in the operational area of the Bitung Ocean Fisheries Ports. Member of the House of Representatives Commission 5, Bambang Haryo Soekartono, has urged the government to reduce the import of both consumer goods and raw materials for the national industry as part of efforts to curb the country's trade deficit. Reducing dependence on imported goods will have a positive impact on the fundamentals of the national economy, the balance of trade, and the balance of payment. Soekartono stated it in a press statement released on Saturday. As such, the national economic stability will be getting stronger, and above all, the national economy will become resistant to external upheavals. Earlier, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said the government will focus on encouraging the export of textiles and textile products to lower the country's trade deficit, which reached $1.90 billion in the first semester of 2019. He said the government will take the strategic step by capitalizing on the U.S.-China trade war. The Ministry of Tourism appreciated the implementation of Brotherhood Camp 4, organized by Junior Chamber International or GCI, as an effort to improve the image of tourism in Bali and Indonesia. Tourism Minister expert in tourism marketing cooperation, Igede Pitana when opening the activity in Amlapura, Karangasem, Bali on Saturday said Junior Chamber International is a youth organization in 127 countries. The organization, which has been established for more than 100 years, has a very broad member, judged to be potential in the recovery of Bali's tourism after the earthquake, especially Karangasem, in responding to the challenges. Brotherhood Camp 2019 theme synergy of diversity was held in Tangkup, Karangasem Village, Bali for 3 days from August the 23rd until 25th. It was attended by members from home and abroad such as Japan and Korea. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. West Nusa Tenggara Governor Zulkifli Mansyah met with a number of Malaysian businessmen who are members of the Next Change Berhad Trade Association and the Malaysian Islamic Trade Council on a working tour to Malaysia to explore investment cooperation. West Nusa Tenggara is open to every businessman interested in investing in Lombok and Sumbawa and will even facilitate infrastructure and licensing facilities for every investor. Zulkifli Mansyah revealed it at the DPIM office in the Cyberjaya area Selangor, Malaysia, as stated in a written statement released in Mataram on Saturday. He said Lombok and Sumbawa had a lot of potentials for investment purposes, especially the tourism industry and its derivatives, including infrastructure and waste management. He said, as the winner of the world's best halal travel destination from 2015 to 2019, from various national and international institutions, West Nusa Tenggara is suitable and accommodating to Malaysian investors who had concern about the issue of the halal or Muslim-friendly industry. West Aceh region, meanwhile, offered investment and a variety of partnership to the Al-Azhar Alumni Association of Rabita Nation of Malaysia during a visit to the local region's office in Melabo Saturday evening. According to West Aceh Region Haji Ramli MS, currently many investment fields can be worked on the area. Among these are the agriculture, plantation, education, marine or fishery sectors, and others which have abundant natural resources. Meanwhile, President Rabita Antara Bangsa Alumni Al-Azhar Malaysia, Dr. Muhammad Fakhruddin Abdul Mukti, said at the meeting that he was very pleased to be in touch with the West Aceh region. He said he will also seek cooperation that can benefit both countries so that better relations between Indonesia and Malaysia are expected to be better and more advanced. The National Archives of the Republic of Indonesia, ANRI, held the Archipelago Archives exhibition, a theme knitting togetherness toward advanced Indonesia, at the Indonesia Museum Taman Mini Indonesia in Jakarta from August the 24th until 31st. Acting head of ANRI, Taufik, on Saturday said ANRI enlivened the 74th Independence Day by exhibiting archipelago archives and diversity at Balai Panjang Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Museum. In addition to exhibiting archives, it also provides services to repair family archives, documentary film screenings, and batik lesson. The Archive Archipelago exhibition was held in collaboration with the Ministry of State Secretariat and Taman Mini Indonesia Indah. Last item. The Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly opens the 2019 Constitution Week, which contains a series of activities that will open idea spaces for the younger generation, especially students, in expressing thoughts about the concept of implementing the nation's noble values. The Assembly Secretary General Ma'ruf Cahyono, in the opening of the program in Jakarta on Saturday, said in the 2019 Constitution Week, there would be 3 competitions, namely the Constitution Debate, Academic Constitutional Drafting, and Scientific Writing, involving students from universities throughout Indonesia. Cahyono said that the Assembly hoped students could see and critically evaluate the national constitutional system from various aspects as well as how it should be implemented. The chairperson of the committee for the 2019 Constitutional Week, Tommy Andana, meanwhile said that currently the entire competition had entered the final round, which was divided into 4 rounds. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries synergizes with various related parties in the context of increasing the protection for fishing vessel crews. The Ministry of Tourism appreciates Brotherhood Camp to improve the image of Bali tourism. West Nusa Tenggara Governor invites Malaysian business people to invest in the province. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. This week's spotlight is on IAID, Concrete Realization of Indonesia's Economic Diplomacy Policy. On August the 20th and 21st in Nusa Dua, Bali, Indonesia organized the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue, or IAID. This event was a follow-up and effort to maintain the momentum of the Indonesia-Africa Forum, or IAF, in 2018. The President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, officially opened the IAID 2019. In his remarks, the President invited African countries to join together with Indonesia, making great progress and leap forward. Indonesia is also ready to work with friendly countries in Africa and ensures that Indonesia is a trusted friend for the welfare of both parties. In line with President Joko Widodo, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi stated that the commitment of Indonesia and African countries was to advance and prosper together. Indonesia wants to be a part of development in Africa and vice versa. IAID 2019 was attended by around 700 business leaders, policymakers, senior government officials and ministers, and other stakeholders from Indonesia and Africa. The participants discussed concrete efforts that could be made in the fields of strategic industry and economic diplomacy, connectivity, social infrastructure and tourism, energy and mining financing schemes, trade cooperation, and development cooperation. Both IAID 2019 and IAF 2018 provide a strategic and potential platform for improving relations and economic cooperation between Indonesia and Africa, especially in the infrastructure sector and other strategic sectors. Within 2 days of the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue, IAID, in Nusa Dua, Bali, a business agreement has been generated worth $822 million, or around 12.3 trillion rupiahs, and the figure is expected to continue to grow. This value increase from the result achieved by the Indonesia-Africa Forum IEF in 2018. IAID succeeded in making a breakthrough strategy for strengthening cooperation with Africa. In addition to producing a business agreement through IAID, Indonesia has signed a joint statement with Djibouti regarding plans to form a preferential trade agreement, or PTA. Meanwhile, the PTA with Mozambique will be signed in the near future. In addition, Indonesia has conducted the first round of negotiations on the formation of a PTA between Indonesia and Mauritius. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as the spearhead of diplomacy, especially economic diplomacy, in collaboration with the Ministry of Trade, continues to encourage PTA with non-traditional markets to increase exports of Indonesian products. From a business standpoint, both state-owned enterprises and private companies, IAID has succeeded in facilitating expansion into Africa, including Mega Persada's energy investment in the oil and gas sector in Mozambique, and Sinar Ancol, which continues to expand into Ethiopia, Ghana, and Tanzania. Well, that was this week's spotlight. Today in history, I'll begin with August the 25th, 1933, the Dixie earthquake. The earthquake occurred in DC, Mao County, Sichuan, Republic of China, on August the 25th, 1933, with a moment magnitude of 7.3 and a maximum Mercalli intensity of X or extreme. The earthquake left 9,300 people dead, and this was the deadliest earthquake of the year. Turning to August the 25th, 1989, the Voyager 2 spacecraft makes it to Neptune. On August the 25th, 1989, Voyager 2 made it to planet Neptune and then excited the orbit of the solar system. Voyager 2 is the first spacecraft that can reach Neptune. It is an unmanned spacecraft of the United States that was launched on August the 20th, 1977. This aircraft is identical to its sister Voyager 1, with the difference that Voyager 2 follows a slower trajectory so that it can survive on the ecliptic, making Voyager 2 able to be sent to Uranus and Neptune with the help of gravity during a meeting with Saturn in 1981. Thanks to the passage, Voyager 2 could become the first spacecraft to reach Uranus and Neptune and complete part of the planetary grand tour, a rare arrangement of geometric outer planets that only occur once in 176 years. I'll end with August 25, 2012, Neil Armstrong dies. Neil Aldrin Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon. Before becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was a United States Navy officer and had served in the Korean War. As participant in the U.S. Air Force Man in Space Soonest Human Space Flight Program and X-20 Dinosaur, Armstrong joined the NASA Astronaut Corps in 1962. His first space experience was NASA's Gemini 8 mission in 1966, at which time he was the pilot of the command and became the first U.S. citizen in space. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
listener in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Provotorov Konstantin in Ukraine. He was listening to our German program through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz on August 15, 2019 at 1800 hours until 1856 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Provotorov Konstantin. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Thank you for reception report in detail. Your reception report has been forwarded to German section, so please be patient to wait for the reply from the section. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
berjulang Indonesia ku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.vinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, Sunday, August the 25th, is entitled Preparation for the 2020 National Sports Week Continues. The provincial government of Papua remains committed to holding the National Sports Week, or PON, which will take place from October the 20th to November the 2nd, 2020. Cancellation of PON is not an option because Papua wants to make PON a turning point in regional development progress. Therefore, the central government is expected to fully support the holding of the Sports Week, which according to the plan will be opened by President Joko Widodo. Acting Executive of the Papua Provincial Youth and Sport Department, Alexander Kikapisa, stated that after the 20th PON preparation meeting at the Ministry of Youth and Sports office in Jakarta on Thursday, August the 20th, Alexander said Papua continued the construction of 56 arenas. 8 have been completed, including Papua Bangkit Main Stadium, the athletic and basketball arenas. The rest are targeted to be completed no later than May 2020. By far, the biggest obstacle is the limited time, geographical conditions, and building and equipment material, which are almost all come from outside Papua. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Youth and Sports ensures that the budget and preparation for the 2020 National Sport Weeks, or PON, in Papua are running well. Secretary of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gatot S. Dewabroto, revealed it after chairing a meeting on the supply of equipment for the 20th PON competition in the 2020 with Acting Deputy for Sport Performance Improvement Yuni Purwanti and Alexander Kapisa in Jakarta on Thursday. On the occasion, Gatot ensured that the 20th PON 2020 in Papua will run according to the agreed schedule, October the 20th, 2020. In addition, the Ministry of Youth and Sports also has prepared additional budget assistance for the implementation of the Papua PON. The meeting also discussed the status of equipment after the 2018 Asian Games and Asian Para Games, which will likely be lent for the PON 2020 if needed. Well, that was My Indonesia Today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He said that he was listening to our English program through streaming. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you very much for being our regular listener of our broadcast. I hope that you always keep listening to our broadcast. In addition, please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Cara kan ku tempuh, oh cintaku.
service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you to Goa Liang Petang in Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara. So stay tuned into Voice of Indonesia. Liang Petang Cave is thought to be a tourist attraction that can stimulate adrenaline when you enter it. Located 30 km from the city of Sumbawa Besar, Liang Petang Cave is precisely in Batu Tering Village, Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara. In Liang Petang Cave, there are some interesting things which at the same time keep a mystery. There are several rooms in this cave that have not yet been explored. You can also find a rock which according to estimates is a fossilized human. Besides that, in the same place, there are some antiques such as bale-bale or bats, pottery, and even looms. Due to the condition of the floor, which is slippery with moss and bad droppings, you need a local guide to explore this 500 meter long cave. He will prepare the lights to facilitate your adventure. You will be amazed to see the exotic stalagmites and stalactites in this Liang Petang cave, because they are indeed unique and varied. Not to mention flocks of bats that flying around and become your loyal friends while in this cave. To reach Liang Petang Cave, the best way is by riding a motorbike from Batu Tering Village. The scenery of Sumbawa's natural savanna will be a special attraction while traveling to this cave. You also need to pass through a small but beautiful river called Tiu Sekat, which means narrow river. It is flanked by rock cliffs and the water is green. It is certain that this river will tempt you to dive to feel its coolness before penetrating the forest and climbing hills for about 25 minutes before finally arrive at Liang Petang Cave. If you are adventurous and want to taste your adrenaline, Liang Petang Cave in Sumbawa is a place to visit. I'll end Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. I'm Puri Safira Adela. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Now we continue to reply an email sent by Dieter Leopold in Germany. He sent his reception report of our broadcast on German program. Thank you very much, Mr. Dieter Leopold. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you and our regular listeners wherever you are. Happy listening!
Apa yang harus aku lakukan? Aku tunjukkan untuk membuat kau menyayangiku.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Today's miscellany is about automatic lawnmower. Weed that grows among crops can disturb the growth of crops. For instance, weed can grow amidst other secondary crops. Weed is obviously disturbing and harmful, so it needs to be mowed. Currently, lawn mowing is still done manually, such as using hoe or pulling it by hands. These methods may make crops pulled out and wasted. That was the reason for electrical engineering students of STEI ITB, namely Tafriana, Shiva Ukulub AN, and M. Farhan A, to create an automated lawn mowing robot. This robot can be controlled remotely with Wi-Fi. The robot, named Robograss, also uses laser technology. User can decide which weed to be mown through a visual display sent by Robograss to laptop. After that, user can easily mow the weed by using laser. Robograss itself uses 10,000 mAh lithium polymer battery that can contain energy for 3-hour use and 6-hour standby mode. Other advantage of Robograss is that it can mow without destroying real grass, because it is controlled by user from 10 until 15 meter distance. And Farhan said, this device is targeted to be usable from 100 meter in the next development. Work principle of Robograss is turn it on, point it, and exterminate. This innovation was chosen to join Electrical Engineering Days 2019 at ITB Bandung on August 5th until 7th, 2019. Not only Robograss, other technological products made by other electrical engineering students were expected to become solution for issues in Indonesia in the future. So listener, that was miscellany for today. I'm Puri Safriadella. See you next time. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.vianews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today we will discuss a song from one of Indonesia's pop divas named Rosa. The singer from Sumedang, who has a distinctive voice, often sings a song for a widescreen movie soundtrack. Recently, precisely on August 20, 2019, Rosa released a song called Karena Cinta Yang Menemani for the soundtrack of the film Susi Susanti Love All, which will air on October 24th. The film is a biopic film on Indonesian badminton legend Susi Susanti. The song lyric made by Rian the Massive is adapted to the synopsis of the film. Rosa hopes through the song Karena Cinta Yang Menemani can bring a strong message about Susi Susanti's struggle from zero to win the 1992 Barcelona Olympic gold medal.
Di sini aku terlahir dalam sebuah ketidaksempurnaan, ketakutan yang melemahkanku, dikalahkan mimpi yang kau nyalakan, hidupkan, jadi
from Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
bersihkan wajahnya dari bintang-bintang dan mulai turun setetes air langit dari tubuhnya. Tanpa sadar nikmatnya alam karena kuasamu yang takkan habis sampai di akhir waktu perjalanan ini. Terima kasihku
South Indonesia.
Menangis, membayangkan betapa kejamnya dia. akan dirimu, karena hatiku selalu kau lukai. Tak ada lagi yang bisa ku lakukan tanpamu. Ku hanya bisa mengatakan apa yang ku rasa.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Budi Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.